Hi, this is Kelly Ray Roberts.
And this is Nicole Poinsky.
And this is the Possibilitarian Podcast, conversations about bravery, tenderness, and achievement. I was just leaning my head back and doing some breathing and thinking about this pranayama breathing exercise that I learned about last week.
Oh my God.
Where you hold one nostril and breathe and hold the other nostril. It's complicated. Uh-huh. But yeah, so you caught me in a moment of breathing.
What does it do?
Well, as with any sort of like specific type of breathing exercise, which I am very new to, by the way, is just a form and a way of centering and mindfulness and getting in touch with your breath and your body. And
Are you a completely new person now that you've come back from your solo trip?
Yeah.
Kelly Ray took a solo trip last week.
I did. So I took a I took a solo trip out to the desert in Arizona, and I went to this place called Miraval, which is a mind, body, spirit spa retreat center, essentially. And I went last year, which last year when I went, it was a huge deal for me because I was certain that there was no way that I could leave my family and my work and my responsibilities and go somewhere for 5 days. And, you know, but I was also incredibly burnt out. So I really needed it. And my husband basically kicked me to the curb and put me on a plane and made me go.
Yep. I remember.
And it was such a life-changing experience that first time around. My soul was in need of some care. And then a year later, I went back in a totally different... You know how you have those markers in your lives of events?
Totally.
This has become a marker. I arrived profoundly in better shape this year than I did last year. And so there was a lot more space to just expand and awaken and be enlightened, and it was a totally different experience. But this time I did lots of like woo-woo things. I saw a psychic. I went on an intuitive channeling soul journey session. I did these you know, funny breathing exercises, and I loved all of it. So
that's awesome.
I got home a couple of days ago, and I just feel like how traveling does sometimes to us. Like, we just get perspective, and we get inspired to make some recalibrations in our life. And yeah, so that's where I'm at.
That's awesome.
I know.
I like thinking about markers, like yearly markers.
Yeah.
I think mine is the moment I step off the plane from wherever I'm living in Sacramento, California, to go home for the holidays.
Yeah.
So my birthday is 2 days before Christmas. And so I always get home or get back to Sacramento around the same time. And it's that moment when I step off the plane, into where the people are waiting for me, and I see my Mama D. Because now I think it's happened like 3 times. She's seen me. She's like, "Oh, hi." And then she sees my outfit and she goes, "Oh, this is nice." And then I end up giving it to her by the end of the end of my trip.
Mama D.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I remember that being a really specific marker for me too, going home for the holidays and what shape I was in, what shape our family was in.
Yes.
It's
like different every year, and the older I get, the more I'm aware of how I present myself.
Yeah.
And like wanting to be, I mean, I have a lot of hangups about, you know, how my family perceives me and, you know, being the only like single young person in my entire family.
Yeah. Yeah. by choice.
By choice. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And no one really understands my job, at all.
Like the job that you do for me.
Yes. But my brother is a bartender, bless him. And that's really easy to talk about, right? It's like so connecting and like everyone has everything they want to say about alcohol with him and, you know, what bar culture is like. And I don't participate in that. And so, you know, it's,
as a sober sister,
it's difficult. It's,
Okay. Well, last Christmas when you went home, you were sort of new to this job still. So this holiday, when you go home, maybe you'll have a better, like, you're more in this.
Oh, you know, 100%.
Way more. It's been a year.
It's been a year. And it's
been we're celebrating Nicole's official year this month, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's, I feel more like myself than I have in a really long time. Mm. And, you know, of course, everyone has hangups about how they present themselves to their family, to their friends, you know, in the workplace, what have you. But I'm starting to let go of a lot of that.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to get back in touch with the person that I want to be.
Yeah.
And it's been an amazing journey, and it will continue to be an amazing journey. And authenticity is a huge part of what we want to talk about.
Right, which is
today.
What we're talking about today. And I was just going to say, this is a great segue into what we're talking about. And also that you are right where you're supposed to be. Like, you're at the end, you're in your late 20s. The 20s are so tumultuous. You're trying on all these different things. And you're, you know, meeting all kinds of different people. And then somewhere along the line in the late 20s, like, you fall into yourself a bit more. Mm-hmm. And it's such a, like, relief.
Yes.
Like, I could not wait to be 30 years old.
Excuse me.
And now I can't wait. And I just turned 40. And now, quite honestly, I'm looking forward to 50.
Yeah. My best friend, Moon Sister, just turned 30. And she has a mug that says, "Don't trust anybody under 30.
And I love that.
I think there's a
You know, that is really funny. But I have to say, as you know, I talk about all the time, I love the millennials. I just think you guys are, I don't know. I think you're really refreshing people.
I wish I had a nickel for every time you said, "Oh, you millennials." I'd be rich.
Well, I'm a Generation Xer.
Yeah, so you are.
We all have our own marks, definitive, like, but the millennials are, you guys are like, that you get a bad rap for sure.
100%.
But when I actually talk to millennials, that sounded awful. When I actually talk to a millennial, like you're aliens or something, you're very like introspective, wise, old souls, and are very committed to authentic living. So that is a great segue.
It is. Because a lot of what we want to talk about today is social media. And as we know, like, millennials are very, you know, we were the ones that were the first to be on Facebook because you had to have a .edu email address. Instagram is very marketed to us. Snapchat, which I don't even know how Snapchat works. I have it on my phone, but I don't understand.
Yeah, I haven't done it yet.
And, you know, there's all this huge opportunities to create the life that you – let me see how to say this. Because creating the life you want is like a tagline of yours. that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about
– representing your life.
Yes. And yes, presenting what you think people want to see or how you want your life to be.
Right. So let's read the question. Because we got this really great question, which is going to be our springboard for the conversation today.
Yes.
I love, love, love this question.
This question's really good.
Okay.
In the question, our listener asks, is it possible to live our successes and our hurts out there in the gaze of the world? Is it possible to be vulnerably lonely publicly as we bring our gifts to this world simultaneously?
The answer is yes. So yes. I have a, for me, the answer is yes. I mean, everybody has their own answer, but I have a, I remember asking this same exact question to myself, several years ago as I was, you know, starting to have, well, at every point of my journey, actually. Mm-hmm. So one specific marker stands out, which is I was, I was trying to be a working artist. I had an Etsy shop. I was selling my prints and my originals. I was hustling. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I was really, stressed out, mm-hmm. lonely, because it's a really isolating thing to do, to work all the time and also, or be in your studio. And then there was a moment when, I began to have success and mm-hmm. things started to happen. And then I felt really funny about that, expressing, because all along I was, you know, blogging and sharing my story. And then at some point I was having some success and I struggled with how to share that too. And shouldn't I be a struggling artist? And mm-hmm. I'm sharing that part of my journey, but I had some hesitation to sharing the things that were actually starting to work well. Mm-hmm. And then I found my place, self in a place where, which is where I am now, which is there's always something to celebrate and there's mm-hmm. always something to grieve. There's always something to be in love with. There's always something to, we are whole beings. We feel yes. all the feelings in a minute. And sometimes yes. I'll have an hour where a day, an hour, a couple hours, short span of time where I can be really celebratory about something, but also really honest about what doesn't feel good either. Mm-hmm. And I think so that is the answer. That's part one of the answer is yes, mm-hmm. you're a human being. We're all human beings. We feel the feelings. It's okay to be, we can be strong and fierce and tender all mm-hmm. in the same moment. And we can be wise and curious at the same time too. Mm-hmm. But the trick is how do you, and do you share all of that? Mm-hmm.
So when you were,
and how do you share it?
Yes.
Yeah.
When you started to get some successes and you felt some struggle, with sharing those successes, mm-hmm. was it because you felt guilty? Was it because you felt, prideful? Like what was the contention there?
That's a really good question. I just had a lot of fears and hangups about being the tall poppy, you know, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And being too big for my britches, as they say in where I'm from, you know, in the South, don't get too big for your britches. So I was raised in a culture, and even the culture today is like, don't stand out. Mm-hmm. Don't get too big for your britches. Stay humble. Mm-hmm. And so I do think I was struggling with how to stay humble, but also, play big at the same time. So I just didn't, it was wonky, you know, it's like learning how to be, mm-hmm. you know, toddlers are learning how to walk. I felt like it was this sort of the same thing. Like I'm like learning how to like stay authentic and true to myself, but also not play down mm-hmm. all of the excitement and joy that I'm feeling as I'm doing this thing. And so actually I had this revelation one day. I was with some girlfriends out at the coast, and we did this. One of our friends, Andrea Scher, led us through this exercise to basically like come up with a mantra that was relevant for our lives at the time. And you think of two people, alive or dead, who are inspiring to you. I thought of Oprah, mm-hmm. and I thought of Deb Talon of the Weepies. Mm. And everything I loved about Oprah was that she was not afraid to not be boastful. That's not the right word, but she wasn't afraid to just step in her creations mm-hmm. and what she has created. And she has a lot of pride, but in a very like tender, humble way. Mm-hmm. And it's inspiring. And she also encourages other people to go for it, right?
Absolutely.
So in my mind, I was thinking, all right, she's really brave in love. Mm-hmm. Because it takes a lot of courage. We are a society that has no problem complaining.
Yes.
being sad, talking about our sadness, victimhood. Mm-hmm. But there's not a lot of people who are not afraid that we are not allowed to be brave and courageous in what's going well and mm-hmm. what's going right. Mm-hmm. So she's my inspiration for brave and love. And then Deb Talon, it was my brave and sadness mantra. She's a writer, a singer-songwriter, so vulnerable in her lyrics, but so healing mm-hmm. at the same time. It's very obvious that her writing and her lyrics, she's just so courageous to put it all out there mm-hmm. and that it's healing for her. So I came up with this mantra, brave and sadness, brave and love. And that is my megaphone for authentic mm-hmm. living. That we can be brave in sadness and be real about what we're struggling with, but we can also be brave in love and celebrate all the abundance in our lives.
Right. It's about balance, right?
It's about seeing both sides yeah. and feeling both sides and sharing both sides without, with authentic courage.
Yes.
And if other people aren't going to resonate with that, then they're not my people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I need a person for me, an icon or, mm-hmm. someone,
a mentor
for, brave and sadness because I go through my life and, things are really, really good. Right. And, I kind of, whenever I'm driving home or like toward the end of the day, I'm like marking all the things. I'm like, yeah, this was good. This was good. This was good. But if one thing falls out of place,
yeah,
it kind of destroys me in like,
really?
Yeah. In this like really like deep place. Mm. Cause I'm like, oh, but I think what it's couched in is perfection.
Yes.
So, living this like happy life,
right.
Where I am genuinely happy.
You
things are genuinely awesome. But I struggle to maintain that so it can be perfect.
Yeah. No, no, no.
Yeah, no.
And you know deep down that like, well, you know, not deep down, just on mm-hmm. the surface that like you have worked really hard to create this joyful life mm-hmm. and perhaps that those things that are on the, you know, that need some recalibrations or need to be looked at or that maybe that's a trigger for something that you're still working on or healing. Mm-hmm. It is 100% like part of the course, right?
Yes. Part of the course?
Par for the course.
Yes.
Did I say part?
I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so what do you, who, I'm just curious, like who in your life sort of emulates, like living all of that, all of the good and the hard and the, because we're going to have it every day.
Right. I think it's a lot of, it's the people that I know intimately.
Yeah.
That, share the seats in the rooms that I go to.
Yeah.
And, you know, this one woman, was talking about, she was sharing with me, she watched this movie and she said it was a horrible movie. Don't watch it. And I can't remember what the movie was. which is good. So, it's about this guy who could like be anybody in the world, right? Like he could change into anybody.
Yeah.
And so her boyfriend asked her like, who would you be if you could, you know, be anybody? And she was like, I think I got a little too deep with the question because I was silent for about 2 minutes and then he gave up and like resumed the movie. Like, I guess he paused the movie to like ask the question. And she was thinking about it like really, really hard. And she's like, I don't think I'd be anybody else.
Yeah.
I think I'd want to be me. Like, and I never thought I would say that ever.
Mm.
And I'm like, yeah, I think like, I see, as far as like mentors or people who like guide me, I see a lot of reflections of myself in them.
Yeah.
And then I see parts of them that are working really well or aren't working. And, I don't know, we kind of blend into each other. It's like puzzle pieces.
Yeah.
You know, like we just kind of fit in each other's empty spaces.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And it's true that like our people in our life, like I always thought that my husband was like, we attract the people, whether we marry them or we're in love with them or in like with them, or we're just friends with them, even for a short amount of time or a long amount of time, that we attract the people who, mirror to ourselves what we need to see good and not so good. And also these are the people who come into our life, like there's real healing in those relationships, that are provided vice versa. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Without, and sometimes it's not even conscious.
Yeah.
It's just, they bring up for us or they mirror for us all the stuff that we need in that moment to be given to us. And sometimes for me in my life, sometimes those people have been the most annoying, frustrating. I wouldn't call them friends, but they have been my most potent teachers.
Absolutely.
along the path.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think where I struggle with a lot of this is, again, just to return to like social media, right?
Yeah. So our gal's question was, is it possible to be vulnerable publicly as we bring our gifts to the world simultaneously? I feel like if I can't find a way of doing this, I'm only living half of my life. Only half of my soul is shining out, and that is adding to the ultimate experience of separation, which is so embedded in our culture and in many of our hearts, which, amen, I 100% agree. And so how we talked about brave and sadness, brave and love, which is part of the human experience, right? But how do we share these stories? And who do we share them with? And that kind of brings up the social media piece. Any thoughts?
I mean, it's a tough question. I think for me, particularly with, I've backed away from Facebook, because for some reason Facebook was a source of like huge anxiety for me. And I think it was a bigger narrative. Instagram for me, I don't know if it's the people that I follow or like, or, you know, how I choose to use it, but, it's a huge source of joy. But I do find myself hashtagging and, you know, doing specific things just to get more likes, and to get more attention from people. And so I don't know if you've heard of this, young woman, Asena O'Neill.
Yeah.
In Australia. And so she, for those who don't know, she was basically an Instagram star, which is crazy that there's like things as that, like that you can be an Instagram star.
Right. We have YouTube stars. We have Instagram stars.
Yes. It's people who
are.
Do we
have Facebook stars?
Oh, I hope not.
Yeah. I don't know.
No.
Okay. Keep going. So she's an Instagram star, and she's also an Australian beautiful model, right?
Yes. Model-esque. Okay. I don't know that she's a professional model.
Okay.
I think that, you know, she was just in her making celebrity out of her life. Right. And right. So, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people follow this girl.
Right.
And, she would show pictures of herself on the beach. She'd show pictures of herself all dressed up, you know, like wearing makeup, tons of selfies. And so very recently she had a revelation and
woo!
Yeah, it was, huge.
I was so inspired by this. Keep going.
Oh my God. Okay. So, sorry about that. So she went through,
by the way, she's 18 years old, right?
18
she's,
years old.
She's quite young. So she has, she was an Instagram star, in her teenage years, 16,
yes, around 16
yeah,
is when it really started.
Right.
So
kind of grew up on Instagram with selfies.
Totally.
And, so keep going.
So she, started going through all of her Instagram posts and started re-editing all of the captions to reveal exactly what was happening in those photos.
Will you read the one caption that she... So this young lady had a revelation, decided that she was going to quit all social media, and she wanted to start a revolution to say... you know, that not everybody who's on Instagram is or on social media is authentic, that it's not real. And so she was using herself. And that's not to say that that's the case for everybody. But there are many people out there who are creating false personas, essentially, in social media. So she's so brave and she's decided no more. And then she started to edit the captions to tell the real story behind the photo. And this is one of the captions that she shared. Go ahead.
So this is a photo. She's smiling at the camera. She's got this, like, beautiful, gorgeous lipstick on, huge, chunky necklace. I mean, it's perfection.
Right. Perfection.
And she says, edit, please like this photo. I put on makeup, curled my hair, tight dress, big, uncomfortable jewelry. Took over 50 shots until I got the one I thought you might like. Then I edited this one selfie for ages on several apps, just so I could feel some social approval from you. There is nothing real about this.
And then she went on to delete all of her accounts. And what I loved about her story was that we all do this in some respect. We all sort of polish our lives on in blogs and social media. And it was just a reminder to me, because here's the thing, on social media, I don't trust anybody on social media or in real life who comes across a little too polished and perfect.
Yes.
Everybody has their story. And unless I know your story, I don't need to know the whole thing, but I need to know the authentic part of your story. Mm-hmm. Unless I know it or that's conveyed somewhere, I don't trust you. Mm-hmm. And if I don't trust you, then I'm not invested in your business or your brand or your family, you know, what have you. So I thought that she was such a, I just felt so much pride for her. That she decided, luckily now, before she enters full adulthood, she'll never make that mistake again, you know? And I'm excited to see where she's going to, I mean, in that, never make that mistake again on that caliber and that level. Yes. And I'm excited to see what she is going to go on and do with her life. Mm-hmm. And she sparked a huge debate of how we tell our stories.
And I think that her example is an extreme one.
Right? I do.
It is the extreme of presenting perfection. And the other extreme, I think, is presenting victimhood.
Yeah.
And so, like you were saying earlier,
I
think that there is a balance, brave and sadness, brave and love. And social media, you know, can be a wonderful tool to connect with other folks. Mm-hmm. As long as we practice some balance with it.
Yeah.
You know, don't always, like, share, you know.
Well, when we start fabricating.
Yes.
What this scene was like versus what it was really like or what have you is when we know we're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that we can absolutely share our vulnerabilities and simultaneously with living a soul shiny life, as she said. And we can do it publicly as we bring our gifts to the world. And we do it in service of bringing our gifts to the world. Do we share all of our vulnerabilities? And maybe not. You know, my friend Brené says it perfectly. It's important to share our stories with people who have gained our trust. And also, I've learned to not share stories until I've worked through them. You know, I've been blogging for 10 years, and I have done this, I can tell you, countless times where I am like processing through my blog and being very vulnerable, but it's around something that I have not yet worked through. And that's not been helpful to me. It has not been in service to me. It has not been in service to whoever's reading the blog. So I think it's important to, like share your gifts with the world and also talk about like how scary that can be mm-hmm. and what that feels like.
Yeah.
And because we're human beings and we're yeah. going to connect to those stories.
I think it's a little bit about intention.
Yeah.
When I find myself posting something just because I know a certain person is going to see it or, you know, hashtagging it so I'll get more likes, like, mm-hmm. you know, that's not the best use of my time.
Yeah. And, you know, I think of social media, it's about it. You're right. Because that you're taking away the, like, the intention of connection mm-hmm. versus the intention of
approval. I
yeah,
think, for
approval.
Me.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to tell you, there was a time, I'm starting to sound like an old like lady, like back in 2001.
You don't have to apologize for that. I don't know if you know this. You were alive in 2001. So was I.
I know, but... I know, I know. But it's just funny. I'm like, now that I've got some, you know, like years and some wisdom collected, it's just, it's, this is a great example. Like it's yeah. kind of strange getting older and I love it. I love being in my 40s, but at the same time, it's kind of like, oh yeah, like I'm referring to old stories now, mm-hmm. you know, because when it's like an old dog, like once you learn a trick, you got it, you know? And so these tricks are kind of old.
Oh my God. Are you talking about the saying, can't teach an old dog new tricks?
Well, no, it has nothing to do with not teaching old dog new tricks. It has to do with once you teach a dog a trick, they got it. I have a puppy bulldog right mm-hmm, now, mm-hmm. so I'm in dog training. And once she has it, she's got it. And for me, it's like living. Like once you have the lesson, you mm-hmm. keep getting the lesson over and over and over again until mm-hmm, you get it, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I wanted to tell you the story of the time way back when I got it. And now I can't remember what the story was because we've been dying.
I'm sorry.
It's something to do with blood. What were we just talking about? This is another part of getting older, by the way. You just, your memories goes.
We were talking about intention and...
It had something to do with blogging and sharing too you were much and...
You were making mistakes yeah. over and over again. Good thing this is recorded. Because we're going to listen to it and we're going to be like, oh, that's what the story was.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, no, no. It's not your fault. Yeah, it had something to do with writing and yeah, I totally lost it. So, okay. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Well, that leads me to just one other thing that I yes. want to say,
yes.
which has nothing to do with what we've been talking about, mm-hmm. quite honestly, or somehow I thought it was going to fit in. But last week I read this really great quote, or maybe it's been a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But and I don't know who said it, but generally the idea was when there is uncertainty, everything is possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to offer that up maybe as we close because it speaks into that. How should we like present ourselves? How should mm-hmm. we share our stories?
Mm-hmm.
And everything is possible. We get to decide how we tell these stories. And mm-hmm. if I love this woman who wrote us and because I can tell clearly she's an authentic woman asking
absolutely.
These questions. And
I think these are the right questions to ask. These are the questions that we should ask ourselves
yeah.
before posting.
Absolutely.
You know?
Right. Right. Am I doing this? Oh, I just remembered the question.
Yes!
I mean, I just remembered the story. So way back when, mm-hmm. I was a couple years into blogging and I noticed that I started to get a lot more comments.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I first started blogging, I'd be lucky if like 2 people read my blog. A couple years later, 50 people were reading my blog. A couple years later, thousands of people were reading my blog, which meant that I was getting a lot of comments,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe like 60 comments a post, which, you know, isn't a lot for, professional bloggers, but I'm not a professional blogger. Mm-hmm. And I started to censor my blog writing around the comment. You know, mm-hmm. like I was like, okay, I'm going to write this blog and maybe I'll get more comments if mm-hmm. I write about this. And maybe I'll get more comments if I write about this. And so that comment, which is the same thing as likes on Instagram, mm-hmm. Facebook, those comments started to dictate for me what I was starting to write about or influenced it.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day I was in touch with that in the way that you are. And I was like, screw this. I'm closing my comments.
Yeah.
Because I need to keep my writing authentic to me. So then I closed my comments, but then it was sort of like a bit of detox. Hmm. Like I missed that approval and mm-hmm. I missed the conversations and I missed. So, and I've never opened them back. I mean, my comments are closed because it's one way to keep me and my process authentic mm-hmm. on the blog. And I wish sometimes that Instagram and Facebook would allow that option
mm-hmm.
to close the comments. Although I know that's not the whole, that's not their mission. It's not mm-hmm. their purpose, but I do think sometimes I just try to pretend there are no comments. There are no likes here. I'm just sharing this for my own documentation and storytelling mm-hmm. and process.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it for me, not doing it. So that was the story. I'm glad I remembered
yes.
it.
Yes, yes.
And I would encourage people who are in that same place, because it's a very natural thing to do, to turn off their comments mm-hmm. or start asking these questions. And are they posting for authentically or not?
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, you know, once that struggle has been tended to and healed, then open up the comments.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
You can always go back.
You can always go back.
Yeah. It's not a permanent decision. And I think that, yeah, I mean, intention is everything.
Nothing is permanent.
Nothing is permanent.
Uncertainty is possibility.
Balance
is a myth.
No, balance is crucial.
Oh, when it comes to this.
When it comes to sharing. When yeah, it comes to being brave in sadness and brave in love. Mm-hmm. And perfection is a myth.
Perfection is a myth.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, my friend. That was...
I hope we answered that question.
Yeah. So, let's close it out.
All right. Awesome. So if you have a question, please send it to us at hello@kellyrayroberts.com. We would totally, totally appreciate it. You can also find us in the iTunes store. That's the Possibilitarian Podcast. And rate and review us. We would love to, we're going to open the comments on this one, and we would love to know what you're thinking, how you're liking the podcast, and share it with others if you dig it. You know, we talk a lot about really vulnerable stuff on here. And I just want to say, you know, like, I'm really grateful for this platform.
Mm.
And, you know, the feedback that we've gotten is, like, it's pretty cool. It's positive, and I think that we're going in the right direction with it.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that, yeah, I mean, this is only our fourth or fifth podcast.
Something like that.
And I know whatever we're talking about is going to resonate with somebody out
somebody.
There.
Somebody, yeah.
And I just enjoy the process of sitting down with you and doing it. So.
Me too. I think people should also know that this is how Kelly Ray and I talk all the time. It's her messing up like a quote or a saying and me laughing at it.
Which makes me think of Let Sleeping Dogs Lie.
Oh my God.
I have to tell them the story.
Okay.
So you guys, I have this new puppy bulldog, and English bulldog. She's the cutest thing ever. And I bring her to work with me Monday, Wednesday, Fridays in the studio. And one day she was sleeping, and Nicole came into the studio, and I was like, shh, shh, let sleeping. What did I say?
You said, it's like that saying, let sleeping, like, dogs, like,
sleeping
like,
babies.
Like, yeah, like, let sleeping babies lie. That's what this is.
Don't
right
wake
now.
Her up.
I was like,
Kelly, it's let sleeping dogs lie, and it's perfect for this situation. So I say things like that all the time. And by the way, it's completely hereditary. My grandmother does this stuff all the time. It drives the family crazy, but as an adult, I 100% know where I got it from.
I adore it. I'm so
let
grateful
sleeping
for
babies
it.
Lie. So on that note, we will end it, and see you next time.
Yeah.
Bye.